Diversity.
Oh, hello everyone. I was just reading my Tony of Arabia Observer Special. I think I'm going to get this one framed as a collector's item. All about what Tony Blair is actually up to in Gaza. Now, when this story broke last week, my initial reaction, which I voiced on Office Hours last Tuesday, was that I thought that this whole plan was designed to fail. That is, that they basically came up with something that Hamas would have to reject with the addition of Blair as an insult to injury, and that Netanyahu and the Israelis just don't want to do this. They want, well, we know what they want. They want their Greater Israel project. Now, new details have emerged in this Observer, and it's actually very interesting indeed, and it's shedding a little bit of light on the specific role of Tone, the actual power levels of Tony Blair as well, who I've long joked on this channel is like the Emperor, like Palpatine. Well, maybe he is the actual Emperor. We'll get more into that, about what exactly was involved in Blair's mission to Gaza, and well, his mission to the White House, his meeting with Trump. All of it is detailed in here. I'm going to get to all of that. But first, I'll just remind everybody, pick up a course at the Academic Agency. It's the autumn sale, still ongoing. Promo code Shredder. Let's watch this ad. And when I come back, we're going to talk all about what Tony of Arabia really means. It's promo code Shredder. World-class education denied to you by school, denied to you by woke university. Well, no more. Pick up your course today. 25% off all courses with promo code Shredder. That's Shredder. Buy it now. All right, promo code Shredder. If you're wondering, by the way, today's cigar is a St. Louis Rey. Reggio, underrated Cuban. All right, so with a Tony, what is he doing in Gaza? I'd be very interested by the way that this is being presented in some parts of the mainstream press, as if Tony Blair has been away for 18 years. Of course, regular viewers of this channel will know that Blair has not been away at all. He has been building one of the largest power networks on Earth, now consolidated into something called the Tony Blair Institute. And he has been backseat driving not only the British government under Keir Starmer, but also before that under the Tories. Blair was there behind the scenes as well. Do you remember when we discovered during COVID, for example, that he was great mates with the Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, and he was friendly with his kids and things like that? Well, it's not just Blair's involvement with domestic politics. He has bases all over the world. He's in about 60 different countries. He is the advisor to a whole list of countries. And I read that list on Office Hours. It's a remarkable just how powerful Blair has become. But we still assume that in the overall scheme of things, the American government seems to answer to Netanyahu, and that Blair was part of a different, a techno-globalist network. And some more details are emerging now as to the specific involvement of Blair. Now, one of the things that complicates this is the fact, is the involvement of Larry Ellison, who is the number one backer of the Tony Blair Institute, the owner of Oracle, who it has emerged is a massive Zionist. He is the person who's recently bought TikTok. He is also the number one funder of the IDF, and he has proposed to put Netanyahu on the board of TikTok. So Blair, a big ally of this massive Zionist, Larry Ellison, but also According to these articles, even though he's had involvement and a long involvement with the Israelis and with the Middle East, here are all pictures of Blair over the years involved with various different characters, various different Israeli and Arab leaders over the years. What is Blair doing, and what is the involvement of the Dark Lord here? And this, if you read the article, it's quite remarkable, because basically the story is that Blair turned up with a bunch of cronies in the White House. He is mates with Jared Kushner, who he worked with on the Abraham Accords back in the first Trump administration. He has also somehow insinuated himself and ingratiated himself with Trump's mate, Steve Witkoff, who has become, you know, like Trump's right-hand man in international affairs. He was the guy who went over to talk to Putin before. And it basically tells the story of how Blair has seduced the White House, how he has seduced Trump and Kushner and all of the members of Trump's White House team. Basically it says he basically sweet-talks Trump, appeals to his ego, and the big carrot that Blair is dangling in front of Trump's nose is the Nobel Peace Prize. So Tony has turned up and said, "So Donald, you're interested in a Nobel Peace Prize? Here's what we need to do." It's pretty amazing, because Blair has talked Trump out of the so-called Riviera Plan and into this 20-point plan that they've come up with, and this idea of Trump, of Blair himself being the hands-on viceroy or administrator, the technocratic administrator of Gaza. And when this was first announced, I thought, well, this has no chance of happening whatsoever, because, for one, you know, what, Blair's really going to give everything up to go and, you know, serve as the king of the ashes over there? But if you read this story, Blair has been personally involved with every step of this. And he says, I'll just read where it says here, Blair would base himself in the region itself. He would be hands-on in securing funding for the reconstruction of Gaza, ensuring that money is properly accounted for and wisely spent. Tony Blair Institute already has almost 100 staff working across the Middle East. The aim is for the people doing the day-to-day governing of Gaza to be Palestinians through a technocratic, apolitical committee. So this is a kind of interesting thing. So Blair's going to have his top team there of technocrats as a layer above some, you know, nominally indigenous Palestinian authority. Where this is very interesting is that, one, it shows Blair's personal power levels here, that he has basically walked into the White House, changed Trump's mind, and made an attempt here, a real attempt, to single-handedly change history, change the course of history. And if you read this article, there's a lot of these different diplomats and senior members of the foreign policy establishment from America and from Britain all commenting on what is driving Blair. And, the sense you get is of a driven messianic figure who believes that he can fix the problem. He believes almost that he's been divinely ordained to bring peace to the Middle East, an idea that hasn't really left him since the days when he was bombing the shit out of Iraq, which is kind of ironic. But if you remember, he was the Middle East peace envoy after he was the prime minister. And it says, here's a direct quote from Sir Anthony Seldon, who says, "This is deeply personal for him. It comes from his faith and his sense of wanting to see himself as a healer. As Prime Minister, he wanted to be inclusive. That sense of wanting to build bridges and to unify and to have the bravery to go into places other people would not want to go. This is very important for him." Sir John Jenkins says, who was an ambassador who held various posts in the Middle East, says there's a lot of unfinished business for Blair in the region. It's business that's unfinished because it can never be finished. He says, I wouldn't say messianic. When people say I wouldn't say, usually they mean I am saying that. But there is this eternal optimism about Blair, which, given the absence of optimism in most of our political class then, is not necessarily a bad thing. When it comes to the Middle East, it may prove to be the triumph of hope over experience. And then it says, at 72, Blair has nothing to lose. Well, that's not true. As I've outlined already, Blair has a lot to lose by doing this. He is too old to be bullied or cajoled by Trump. But he also knows it is only the president of America, that is, who has the power to make the peace plan stick. So, yeah, I mean, tall and the short of it is, this whole deal, this whole plan has been driven pretty much single-handedly by Blair, which is remarkable. It's remarkable that this is the case. So, what's going to happen now? Because if you remember, I said that Hamas should accept the deal in order to wrong-foot Netanyahu and stick the Israelis in a bind and expose the fact that they had no, that the whole idea of this being a deal was a pretense. That the idea that the Netanyahu signed it, right, with the idea that it was definitely going to be rejected as a surrender document, as a slap in the face of Hamas. And I said, well, because it's been designed to be rejected, Hamas, if they're clever, should accept the deal. And they have. First of all, it looked like they hadn't. It was being reported that they'd rejected it. Then it was reported widely that they have accepted it. And Trump has been quoted as getting increasingly frustrated with Netanyahu. There's this quote that's widely been repeated that was reported by Axios saying that Trump railed at Netanyahu, saying, why do you always have to be so effing negative? Now, this could be kayfabe because things like this have happened before. But I also believe that, or I don't find it difficult to believe, that somebody of Blair's levels of manipulation, we're dealing with Palpatine, let's not forget, has probably worked his way, worked his magic on Trump, worked on that ego. He's got that Nobel Peace Prize in mind. He wants to make history. He doesn't like the fact that he's widely seen as being pushed around by Netanyahu. You know, we've all seen the images. Trump is a vain man. So it's very interesting. Now, what I've not quite worked out is how Blair is doing this. Blair is basically making a globalist push to prevent and to curtail Israeli exception. You know, this would probably do in Netanyahu. It's a massive loss for him if this goes ahead. And it would be basically the international community, headed by Blair himself, the emperor himself, curbing the Israeli nationalist exception and bringing them and bringing that region in line with the techno-globalist vision. Where I haven't quite squared this is how Blair is getting away with this when, in theory, he answers to Larry Ellison, who's this massive Zionist, as we know. And it could be that Larry Ellison and the other rich billionaires, like Ackman and some of the others, have had enough of Netanyahu. Maybe they see in this Blair plan another way of bringing Gaza, taming Gaza, and turning it into a business opportunity, turning it into a chance for some political experimentation. They can try out all of their dark surveillance tricks and digital ID stuff on the population of Gaza. They curtail a refugee crisis or another refugee crisis in the West, which has been fueling populism, fueling anti-immigration sentiment. So, you know, they get another win there, because ultimately these are business people. They want stability at home, ultimately. Possibly, if they get rid of Netanyahu, they can flip the script on Israel. They can start normalizing Israel again in the eyes of the West. Now, is Larry Ellison thinking along these lines, or is he far gone and really pro-Netanyahu? Honestly, I don't know. Larry Ellison is the closest thing to a real-life Bond villain, if you ask me. And, you know, when it comes to... This has always been a question with Blair. When it comes to Blair, is he above these guys, or is he below them, or does he answer to them, or is he just a business partner, or what? But we're seeing now that his power levels, Blair's power levels, are even above where I would have put them. I mean, this is an extraordinary intervention on the highest possible stage. And it's worked. Basically, it's worked on Trump, at least, and on the White House. And, I mean, let's face it, what we're seeing is Blair is driving a wedge between Trump and Netanyahu by putting a practical solution on the table, which Hamas nominally has accepted. So it's put the Israelis in a terrible bind, you know, and the master's come out and done it again. Like, it's amazing. So, yeah, I mean, I think myself and the whole world watches this space with bated breath. Who knows what's going to happen? It's a dramatic development for Blair personally to get himself involved in this. Before I wrap up, I will say it's been a while since I bought a newspaper. £4.50, ladies and gentlemen, for a newspaper. You know, this will ultimately end up being excellent composting material. Right? I bought it just to do this video, but, you know, £4.50, no wonder nobody's buying newspapers. Anyway, pick up a course at the academic agency, promo code Shredder. Let me know what you think is going to happen in the comments. I am kind of tentatively optimistic about this. I think it has a chance of going ahead, but ultimately it rests on Trump standing up to Netanyahu and putting his foot down. Is he going to do that? Well, stranger things have happened. Dare I hope? Dare I be optimistic? Even weirder things have happened than that, friends. All right. Catch you later. Catch you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.